Okay. We're going to start with another process word. The more I look, you won't run out of. Well, you won't run out of them, but it's so good till you you start looking and you say, you know what? It may not be good to you, Austin, but that's good to me. It's good to go over them. But the more I look at them, the more we need them. The more we need to know about them. And take a note from Ed, a process word, I'll ask you guys, a process word is what?
Could it be that
we're being processed? But we talked about a word that ends in
T-I-O-N.
It denotes the process, something that has taken place or is taking place
or
will take place. And we talked about in God's case, it's all three. And if you apply those words, if you think about those words and you think about every time you read redemption, every time you see salvation, every time you see sanctification, every time you see reconciliation, you can think of that's something that God has done, something that He's doing, and something that He will do. And then if you don't know what it is, then you have to go back and do some more checking about the things that we went over. And after a while, you start reading and you'll see, we talked about this, they just all fit together. Because it's His plan to give us these things. That's in Corinthians, Paul said that we have received the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. Freely. And it's a tremendous work that He has accomplished for us. And if you ask the average saint, they're not familiar with these words. And this is God's foundation. This is what He's, you know, this is what He's done just to get you started. You know, like you go to kindergarten, they say, well, we're going to teach you how to read. You get your ABCs and you draw on your graph so you can learn how to print. You don't write in cursive until you learn how to print. And you don't learn how to print until you learn your letters. And that's what God is doing. He says, well, if I'm going to take you up from a child to a mature man, first thing we got to do is get some terminology together. So when I say redemption, you won't say, what's that? Or if I say reconciliation, you won't say, what's that? Or if I say you're sanctified, you're going to say, what's that? Because when you know better,
you do better.
And it's nothing like information. And that God, especially information that God wants you to, has been here for a long time. Just before we start, sometime in the next week, before the week is up, just go up to somebody and ask you something. And somebody you know who's saved, and say, let me ask you something. What'd you get when you got saved? And they might say, well, I'm not going to hell. That's about it. But you say, no, that's, what did you get?
Come on now.
You know, it's some things that happened to you when you said, yes, I trust them. And some things that happened to you, I won't know what they are. See if they can tell you. Just run them through your mind. See if you can list them. And I guarantee you, most of them will say, I don't know. And it's a great loss. It's a great loss to not know what God has done. That's why, you know what, we go over these words and we go over another one tonight. Tonight, the word is adoption. Adoption. Romans chapter 8. It's not like our adoption, where we take a member, you go out and adopt somebody into your family and make him, I don't know, so make him your own, make him a part of your family. For God, adoption is a little different for us. Romans 8. And for God, the adoption is this. Is he takes us and he places us in a position of sons. Now, I don't mean son like just in the family. When I say sons, I mean adults, full-grown sons. Mature. He looks at you as a mature adult in Christ, even though your practice might be on the baby stage. But he looks at you as son because he has placed you as a son. Romans 8, verse. Let's start at verse 11. But if the. Well, let's start at verse. I don't want to go back too far. Let's start at verse 7. That's back farther, but he says, because the. All right, one more. How about 6? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of what?
Adoption.
Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, the passage we want really is 14 through 16. Actually, 14 and 15. But he makes a statement here. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, that's just in the family. Okay? You get saved, you are a son. You're in the family. But he says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this, and just in that passage, is a subtle difference. He said, we have not received the spirit of bondage. What is the spirit of bondage?
Slavery.
It's slavery. It's subordination. It's you said slavery. I'm looking for the. It's well. He said bondage. It's bondage. It's the law. Mm-hmm. When you look through here, the first thing Paul does is in Romans he says you're all sinners. Then he says you get this free through the redemption that's in Christ, because he was the propitiation. And he says, here is your relationship to sin in chapter 6. He says, you're what? Dead to sin, okay. Right? Then he says, here's your relationship to the law. He says, you're what?
Dead to the law.
Look at Look at 7. Romans 7. Verse 6. He says, but now we are what?
Delivered from the law.
That being dead, wherein we were?
Held.
Okay, wait. So if you've been delivered from the law and the law held you, that means you are what? You're in bondage. Most people don't think about, you know what, when they want to do the law, they don't think about it's bondage. It's like it's slavery. It's not a choice. You know, we, like I think about Seventh-day Adventists, they pick what they want to do. That's not God's law. God's law wasn't negotiable. You didn't search it out. It was there, and you either did it or you didn't. It wasn't like, I like that one, and I like that one. I think Ed was saying last week where the rich young ruler, he says, what commandments? Like he can pick two and God would be okay with it. He said, no, I did this. He says, what about this? Because he was in what? And the Lord wanted him to know that, you know what? You can't perform and be free, not under this. He says in verse 6, he says that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found what? For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Do you know, and we'll look at this, the letter kills. But the spirit gave it life. The letter kills. The law is not designed to free you.
Amen.
But he says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Right? The law should produce fear because you know what's in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not blessing, it's cursing.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that what Moses said? He says, I set before you this day
blessings and cursings.
And they ended up with what?
Yes.
With the curses.
Mm-hmm.
But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's a term of closeness, a term of endearment. And you know, well, you maybe know that the only time it's used is who else said it? You know who else said this? Abba, Father?
Jesus
Christ. He's the only one else, he's the only other person that said that. Abba, Father. It's one of the terms, one of the closest terms you can use in Jewish language to show closeness. You couldn't do that if you were afraid of your father, could you?
Mm-hmm.
Could you?
Mm-hmm.
You can say, you know, I think of some children, it's always, and it's respect, but they'll say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir. Or you, if you slip up and say, yeah, what did you say?
Mm-hmm.
There's no intimacy there. There's no closeness there. I think when Ed, you used that example, you had friends, your cousins, where their relationship was different, where they can come in and say, hey, we want to go do this or that. But their cousins have to come in fear because There was a different spirit there. But he says, we have received what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have been placed as sons. That's we have. I'm trying to, and I'll get there. But when he says we have been placed as sons, that is, it's more than just being in the family. It's a close relationship with the Father. Look at, I'm trying to think, is it Matthew where the Lord said that? Matthew, I believe it was 26. Matthew, well, I got my note right here. I guess I can look at it. It's, I wanted to, nope. Well, that's not it. But since we're over there, we might as well read it. 23. That's not 23 either. Where he said, Abba, Father.
What's that? Father
in the garden
of Gethsemane.
What's that?
He cried, oh,
right, right. It's what verse is that?
It was in chapter
26, verse 39.
And he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me."
Okay, well, let's read that since you're over there. I'll it'll come to me in a minute. I should have wrote that down. But he did say
Matthew 14:36.
14:36. All right. How was that, Ron? Is that all right? 14:36. Matthew.
Uh-oh. I thought it was Mark.
Okay, Mark. That's it. Okay. Start at verse 32. And they came to him. Wait. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." Now, there's no way when the Lord comes, he said that he came to do what? The will of the Father, right? And there's no way that he could say what he said without having that intimate relationship. Abba, Father. Because he, I think in Hebrews he said that though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things, what? That he suffered. So he's coming down with, you know what, knowing who he is, knowing he has perfect relationship with the Father, and right here he knows that, you know what, that's getting ready to be severed. That relationship is getting ready to end. Because he's getting ready to take on all these sins, which will separate him. And he says, if it's possible, well, there's no other way. It has to be done, right? There's no other way that he can do this. And he began to be heavy, and he says, Abba, Father. That's like Daddy. Daddy, if we can do this any other way. But he said, nevertheless, what? Being a son, you know what he, I think he said in a couple of spots, he told Pilate, he says, don't you know, I'm paraphrasing this, that I can call 10 legions of angels. Because this is the commandment that I have from my Father. There's no, you know what, I'm not under obligation to do this. He said, I'm doing this willingly. Now, if it was a law, and if he was doing this out of fear, then there's no way he could not do it out of fear of death. But he says, I'm doing this because of the love that me and the Father have. And one spot he says, you know what? I know that you always hear me. He said, but I'm going to do this for the people's sake. You remember that? When he says, yeah, you know, nevertheless, he says, I'll do this that they might know that I'm come from you. And he does what he says. But here's the closeness. He says 36, and he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible. What? Nevertheless, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what? But thy will. And then he goes on to talk about the rest of that. Now, look at Romans 8:23 again. Verse 23. He says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for what? To wit, the redemption of our body. Now you think about it, what does that have to do with verse 15? If he places us as sons, and that's adoption, as full grown sons, he says down here that we're waiting for the adoption. Remember we talked about the process words? Some things you get right away. Some things are taking place. And then some things what? Well, when you say I do, well, I trust Christ, you get placed as a son right there. It's done. You only get that one time. And right now, you can function as a son. We may not know how to do that. And we'll look at that. And then he says here, but we're waiting for what?
The adoption.
We're waiting for the adoption. The what? The redemption of our
bodies.
He said, you know what? One day you're going to, and I'm not saying this irreverently, one day you're going to be like Daddy. You know, you're going to grow up. He said, change our vile body to be fashioned like to his what? Glorious body. He said, that's your complete placing as a son. Where you know what? You'll get a glorified body just like him. Remember when you girls were little, maybe you dressed up like mama. Mm-hmm. Put on a dress, put on shoes. Maybe you wore your father's shoes, put on his coat. But you know what? One day, you won't have to pretend.
Amen.
You'll be a full grown son, not only in the position here, but up here. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. says, according as he hath chosen us, where?
In him.
In him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let me ask you this. Can the law do that?
No.
Can the law present you holy?
No.
I don't say law. Can your performance present you holy and without blame?
No.
You sure? Why do we place so much emphasis on that? Your performance, that is.
Because that's what the world's following.
Because, you know what? I won't even say the world. That's what the religious people in the system has taught us. They don't know about sonship. So you have to, you know what? You have to perform to get approval. Well, here he says that we should be holy, without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto what?
Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself.
According to what? Your works?
His will.
It's not according to your works?
No.
According to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of what?
His grace.
Wherein, in his grace, he hath what?
Made us accepted in the beloved.
In whom? In who?
In Christ.
We have what?
Redemption
through
his blood.
We what? We have it.
We have it.
What does that mean?
We have it already.
You got it already. The forgiveness of sins according to what?
The riches of his grace.
Here he said, you know what? God's good pleasure, in his own good pleasure, his own purpose, he had decided, you know what? You will be a full-grown son. And you'll be holy and without blame before me, because I have determined beforehand that when you trust him, that's what you get. That's what I'm giving you. Where it works. Where is works in here?
Nowhere.
Now they after. After this. Under the law you work because the law did what? It told you to work. It was, and you still didn't get it done. The law told you to work and you still didn't get it done. And it punished you for that. Sonship says it's done. You work if you want to work. I'm not saying you don't, you shouldn't work, but you shouldn't work for approval. Should you?
No.
You work out of what?
Love.
Out of love. Out of gratitude.
Amen.
For what? Look at this. You work because he hath made us accepted. Made. He made us accepted. You know what made me? You know what made means?
Crafted.
You know what? It's like, if this is like a square peg in a round hole, I'm going to make this fit. He that means that, you know what? He's done some things. Those process words, he's done some things to make you accepted in
the beloved.
In whom we have, there it is, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That's what adoption is. One more verse here. Adoption is, look at 2 Corinthians. It's freeing you up from the bondage of the law, the guilt that the law brings, the restriction of the law. You know what? Look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians 3, verse, 6. He says, he has made us, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, what?
Kill it.
The letter, what?
Kill it.
But the Spirit
gives life.
But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, what?
There is liberty.
There's what?
There is liberty.
Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom from what?
The law.
Freedom from bondage. Freedom from the law. Freedom from trying to perform. Freedom from the punishment that would come after you fail. This is, could you say Israel were sons?
No, not really.
Not really. You can say they were sons, but you can't say, you can say they had the adoption.
Right. Yeah.
Look at Romans chapter 9. They were sons, all right, because he did bring them out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Chapter 9, verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I wish that I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth what?
Adoption.
And the giving of the law, and the
service of God,
and
the promises,
whose are the fathers, and whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Paul saying, you know what? The adoption and all these other spiritual things, it belongs to them. But they never got it. I think it's another verse he says, why didn't they get it? Because they sought it not by
faith,
but as it, that's chapter 10. Look at chapter 10.
932.
Okay. He says, verse 30, yeah, let's start at verse 31. He says, but Israel, which followed after what? The law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or why not? Because they sought it what?
Not by faith.
For as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled
at
the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be
saved.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You know what he's saying? He's the end of the struggle. He's the, you know what? You ask him, are you saved? I'm trying. I hope so. I'm working on it. Well, you got to know there's no peace in that. That's, can you imagine? That's like, this is what adoption is. It's like going up to a child and saying, is that your father? I don't know. I don't know who he is. They told me it might be him. That's what, yeah. But you know what? It's what Israel did. You know what? They were always under tutors. And in Galatians chapter 4. And this is what they signed up for, though.
Yeah.
Is they didn't want God to be gracious, to be a father to them. They wanted to perform. Verse 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were what? Kept under the law. Shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our what? To bring us that we might be justified by faith. You know what a schoolmaster is, right? It's an instructor. A child instructor. That's where we get our word pedagogue from. Pedagogy. To train a child. The law was a trainer. To train you. It kept you in line. Kept you, you know, do this. Don't do that. Got to do this. Can't do that. It was always, it wasn't room for you to make your own decisions. It told you what to do. When you look back at the law, I think one of the lessons we talked about, it said that it's 613 laws. There was a law that governed every aspect of the Jew's life. From the clothes he wore, to the seeds he planted, to the dishes he ate out of, to the people that he associated with. Every single area of his life was dictated by a schoolmaster. Everything. Can I do this? No. Can I go? No. He says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a what? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here we go. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But this child, he is under what?
Tutors and governors.
Until?
The time appointed of the father.
Now, he used this example. A tutor, same thing, is a person that he was in charge. We don't, not like tutor, we tutor. But this was, he was in charge of your education as a child, but he also disciplined you. And and this is what God saying, the law was like a tutor. Didn't it discipline him?
Yeah.
And it tried to educate him. It tried to lead them to who? Tried to lead them to Christ. Tutors and governors. And a governor was just like the word, really. They took charge and everything else. That's like when you go to school, you got your tutors with you. He's in charge of keeping you in line while you're in school. But when you get out of school, you get out of that bondage into another bondage. The governor. The governor, he went home with you. He lived with you. Can I watch TV? No. It's time to go to bed. Yeah. Everything was in regiment. You know what? You went to boarding school, right?
Yeah.
You know what it's like then.
I do.
Lights out at 8, eat at 7, get up at 6, go to school, come right back. Can I play? Nope. Everything was structured. Is that liberty?
No.
Is it? The governor was not like a father-son relationship. A tutor was not a father-son relationship. When he said you have the adoption, you know what he says? He says all that took place until the time appointed of the Father. So God the Father, he's got these Jews in line, structured under the law, just waiting till the time appointed. And the time appointed was what? Right here. The cross. He says, even so, verse 3, when we were children, we were what? Under the
elements of the world.
Same things. You know what? The elements, Paul says in Colossians, it's the rudiments. Mm-hmm. You know, the basic things. The touch not, taste not, handle not. The law, the washings, the baptisms, all those little rituals that they went through. He says those were elements of the world. Bondage. The elements of bondage. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to what?
To redeem them.
To redeem them that were what?
Under the law.
That we might
receive the adoption of sons.
That we might what?
Receive the adoption of sons.
To redeem, you know what? To free them. To freedom from that bondage of the tutors and the governors and the schoolmaster, mm-hmm. to release them that they might receive, that is to, you know what, to fully receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying what?
Abba, Father.
Abba, Father. Daddy, right. Now you think about this. Us here who, you know, we have it. You may not realize it, but we have it. We go to places where we subject ourselves back to this system again. You gotta come every week. If you don't come every week, I'm questioning your relationship with the Lord. You ever been there? You ever heard that?
Yes.
Or, you can't wear this. You can't do that. You can't go here. Is that liberty?
Nope.
That's not. Your son's coming into town. I guarantee you, if he called you up, say, "Hey, Dad, what are you doing?" You know, nothing. I was wondering if I can go to the store. What would you tell him?
Sure, he's an adult.
Sure, he's what?
Adult.
He's a grown man. Like, what if he called you every day? Can I watch this? After a while, you're going to say what? You're killing me, Stephen. It's like, what? Grow up. That's what God does. He said, you know what? You're grown. You have a status as a full-grown son. That's why Paul said, you know what? All things are lawful. This is because I'm grown. But all things are not. All things are lawful for me, but I shall not be brought under the power.
Amen.
Did you know that that's what sonship is? It's a full-grown son. God looks at you as an adult, and he says, you know what? You're pretty much on your own. When you get up out of the house, you know what? I can't wait till I'm 18. I'm going to get out here, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And God says, you know what? You're 18. You know, he's not walking behind you saying, don't do that, don't do that. He says, you're a full-grown son.
All
I'm saying is go out and what? Perform like it. Act like it. And what's good about it, it's regardless of how much doctrine you have working in you. You may not know all the scriptures, but he still says, you know what? You're still grown. That's why when we talk about being under grace, that's why you can't compel other people to see what you see, to read what you read, to do what you want them to do, because they're what?
Free.
How it look like controlling that? He's a grown man.
Okay.
How does he look like going down to his son and telling him it's time for you to go to bed?
I did that. I still did it.
You know what? You just, when you see that, if you see it on the natural side, what about God? Sonship, you know what? You are. He places you as an adult. This is a position that we have. And you may not even know it. Romans chapter 14. He says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to what? What does weak in the faith mean?
He
means that you still think you have to perform to please God.
Whatever it is, right. He may think he just got in. He doesn't have that all the doctrine there. He doesn't know. He says what your job is to criticize him. Right? Oh no? Oh wait. Oh, he says do what?
Receive him.
Receive him. Embrace him. But not to what?
Doubtful disputations.
You know what that means?
Don't criticize him. Don't have judgment.
Don't judge him. Ouch. That's a rough one, ain't it? You mean you still go to that church? Or we might say something else like you wear pants? Or like one a friend of mine, the pastor told his wife, you can't wear earrings, ear bobs. That's what he called them, ear bobs. And this man may not have known about sonship, but he went to the pastor. He says, that's my wife. She can wear whatever she want to wear. If it don't bother me, it shouldn't bother you. But now sonship, if she could have said, you know what? I can wear what I want to wear and not been wrong about it. Verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth what?
Herbs.
Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath what?
Received him.
Who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to what?
Make him stand.
One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man what?
Who's fully persuaded in his own mind.
That's it right there. That's sonship. The Lord says, how much doctrine is in you? 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 That's what you function on. Because I'm looking at your growth. It's me and you. You're my child. So I look at, you know what? You function in what you have, not what he has. You don't live off his conviction. You live off your conviction. That's our relationship. That's what God is saying. You don't live off another man's knowledge. That's not how it works. You can't say daddy if you don't know him. You might go, My father's he's a good man. He's a loving man. But you know what? You never sat down with him. You never talked with him. You just give him some third party information. Remember that verse in John where the lady with the well, she says, come and see a man who told me everything I ever done. Mm-hmm. And then they went and they came back. You know what they said? Now we believe.
Yeah, not what you said.
Not because what you said. Because what?
I've seen it for ourselves.
We had our own experience. Right. That's what God wants from you as a son. He said, you don't function. You don't eat because he said don't eat. You don't eat because they say you can't eat. You eat because that's what's what? That's the conviction that you have. It could be wrong. But that's what the Lord said. He said, you know what? I'm not punishing you. You could be wrong with me because you're not wrong with me. I'm able to hold you up. Look at verse 22.
Oh, what?
Same chapter. 22. He says, hast thou faith? Have it what?
Have it to you without self before God.
Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Mm. For what?
Whatsoever is
not
of faith is sin.
You know what he's saying? If you don't do it, if you're not working off the doctrine that's in you, then it's wrong. If you're not functioning on the conviction that the Word of God gives you, it's wrong.
All right.
Faith comes by
hearing.
Whatsoever is not of faith is what? And all he's, you know what? All he's saying is, if you're not doing it because of doctrine that you've learned and you're walking in, you missed the mark. Because now you're not functioning as a son, you function as a tutor and governor. You let somebody tell you what to do. You back under the law. You back under. He's saying, you know what? You got to do this because I said do it, not because the Lord said. Because I said do it, and I'm right. What I'm telling you is right for you. He says, you just missed it. Because you've given up your sonship to be controlled. That's why we were talking about, I don't tell. Are we done? Cut that off. She won't do it.
It stopped.
Anyway, it stopped. That's why I don't tell my wife what to do.
Now
oh no, you know what? You just don't. No, that's just just things where you just a little family here.
Yeah.
Because I know that I had to function with her on the basis of sonship.
Okay.
So I let her. You know what? I let her walk in the doctrine that's in her. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she would be doing it because I told her to do it. I would be her governor. I would be a tutor. I would be her schoolmaster. She would be under my performance. And it wouldn't be the Lord working in her. So I'm stripping her of her sonship. The ability for her to function in the doctrine on her own. That's what the tutor and the governor did. They were between God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They restricted the relationship. They didn't allow them to get close because they were there telling them this, do that, until the father said, okay, now it's time to move them out of the way. Now you come in with me and we're going to work together. That's adoption, where he moves all those restrictions out of the way, like Jewish bar mitzvah. They worked until the time when they became grown to work with the father. And then the father would take them and then they would work together. Nobody in between them. the relationship then was strengthened because they function as what? Father and son. Now that's a bad layout of adoption, but it's still good. Because you know, if nothing else, you realize that he wants you to know that he has placed you as a full grown son. That's for ladies too. Sons, it's a full grown son, and he wants you to operate like that, to function like that, all the time. And when you find some,
can I make a point?
Sure.
Yeah. What strikes me about it is that's one of the difficulties of teaching grace is that you're taking somebody that's used to being under a tutor and the protection of a tutor, and being told what to do and all the security that comes with that, not having to think for yourself and be a grown up and all that, and you're taking the tutor away from them, and then they want you to be the tutor, but your job is not to be the tutor, it's to bring them up to the Lord.
Right.
And let them have the direct connection to the Lord. I mean, and once they get it, it's the most exciting thing in the world. But until they do, they're scared to death of what you're trying to do.
Right. It's like trying to ride a bike.
Exactly.
You know, but it's you know how many believers are scared to even read on their own?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were, you know what? They look at it and it's like, I don't understand.
I might get it wrong.
So what? So what? You might get it right. I tell you what, if the whole the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. You ever read sometimes and your little heart just get warm?
Yeah.
And you might even, you know what?
Yeah.
You might even see a little tear trickle down.
Yeah.
And you like,
wow, that's right.
It ain't what I ate either. Somebody's in there.
Amen.
He's in there.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's in there bearing witness with your spirit.
Amen.
And you're like, you know what? I don't care what happens. I know that he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what I do. You know what? I know I'm not saying do anything, but he loves me. I know he loves me. That's Abba Father. You don't have to worry about, you know what, Lord, I cussed that guy out. You know what? That's all right. You didn't function in the doctrine. Turn around. The next, you know, get it right. That's what grace, you know what, just turn around, get it right. Function as a son. That's it. It's your position. He's given it to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your wonderful word. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of just looking in it together. Lord, I know you're able to take a verse and strengthen our hearts. Lord, I just pray that the word was not hindered by the things that I may have said or done. But just the Holy Spirit might take these things and impress them on our hearts, that he might, as we just said, bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we are sons, full-grown sons in your sight. We thank you for that position that you secured for us. And Lord, not just that, but all those processes that you've worked on our behalf to work an exceeding and far salvation that, Lord, we just couldn't thank you enough. We thank you for those who come out, Lord. We thank you for those who may have wanted to be here but couldn't make it. And for those who have no concern about your word and what you've done for us, we are reminded daily for our activities that we're ungrateful and unthankful at times. That's why you had to provide a salvation of solely apart from works. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege once again to speak on your behalf. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good job, Frank.
Good job.
Amen.